fuck. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to the podcast we call Comes Naturally. And as always, we ask you to help us out and do a couple things before we get started. First, please go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Interact, we'll reply back, faux show. Then go to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
And then when you're all done with that, please head on over to iTunes, rate the podcast, review the podcast, and then subscribe to the podcast. That way it downloads for you automatically when it becomes available every Friday morning without having to do a damn thing.
One more thing before we start the show proper.
Yes.
I have now set us a thing where, I don't know why, but I did it, where you can now subscribe to get the podcast through Facebook Messenger.
Oh, damn.
And I'll be posting the instructions how to do that on Friday. So
if you're like, hey, guys, I want to subscribe to the podcast, but I'm always on Facebook and I can't ever get to the Apple podcast app, we got you covered.
Yep. And so the instructions will be on there how to do it, how to sign up for it. It is completely free to do. It's just another service that you can get it through if you don't have iTunes or don't use iTunes or don't want to do the direct download. This is just another way you can get it, and everybody
and
has
it helps us out.
It does help us out. So,
and then also, if you guys have suggestions of what kind of show you want us to do, shoot it at us. If you want us to watch an old shitty movie like we used to, let us know what shitty movie you want us to watch.
Because we'll watch
it.
If
you want us to fantasy cast a movie for you, give us a premise, give us some roles, we'll fill that bitch in. And we actually, no bullshit, we have a pretty good track record of talking stuff into the universe. So if you got some passion project you want to see that you don't think is getting made,
let us put it out there.
Let us put it out into the world. Give us 3 years and that shit will get announced. Not going to say guarantee, but, you know, as close as I can get to guarantee.
12% chance.
I'm going to say 11.9% chance.
Lower than 12, so that's not better for us.
But it's better than zero.
Speaking of betting for us, because naturally we are.
I almost said Joe. I'm Mike.
You are also?
Not Joe.
Yep, not Joe. I am Cody. Joe is not here. Joe is sick. I will not make my comment from earlier. He is just not feeling well, so he's at home resting.
Can you imagine, like, somebody with a bad immune system? Like, what type of person would have a bad immune system?
Or none at all.
And that's how Joe is. Joe is just not enjoying this jump from one weekend being in 70 degree weather and then jumping to 105 degree weather. And then, like, the kind of little colds that everyone's getting, he's just getting that shit full force.
He takes 5 common colds and makes them 1 big super cold.
Yeah.
So he likes math a lot.
He's like Chris Evans at the end of Fantastic Four 2, where he combines all of them and makes 1 really
terrible
dumb
movie.
Fucking movie.
Yep. That's basically what Joe does. He takes 5 terrible things and makes them worse by combining them.
It's so mean.
He's not here to defend himself, so fuck him. Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode. We would call it the Mike and Cody Show, mainly because it's just Mike and Cody.
So I was looking, I don't know exactly when you started the show.
A while ago.
But we were talking about that movie Fallen with
Denzel Washington. The old school movie from 1990-something.
Ooh. 98.
Oh, dang. Almost the millennium.
I want to say that was a good year for movies. I feel like that around about time felt like a shit ton of dope stuff was coming out.
Also, 98 was the time where movies changed for more, like, genre movies became mainstream around that time. Before that, you had the mainstays. You had, the vampire movies, like before 98, you had like Interview the Vampire and a lot of those ones that are like very few and far between from mainstream movies. But 98, right after that, like 98 was like when you got Lord of the Rings, and like that along with Harry Potter and some of those other ones around that time frame blew up genre movies and nerd stuff to be more the mainstream. And it's because also where Marvel started to take off. Like, it was a few years later when Marvel proper started. But a lot of that stuff, because around that same time was, like, Bryan Singer's X-Men. And, like, you had the Blade movies were still a hot thing around that time. But, yeah, no, that time was it was a very big turning point because...
I feel like mainstream shit was taking chances that hadn't been taken in a long time.
They're also doing... They're also taking what would have been... Like, your typical blockbuster before that was, like, The Rock. When I say that, I don't mean the human being The Rock. I mean the movie The Rock.
Yeah, because in 98, The Rock was wrestling Stone Cold.
It's true.
Not making movies yet.
And because of that, you didn't have big budgeted, like, CG stuff going out there. It was all practical, you know. The most elaborate thing you had was jets flying over and pretending they shot rockets down at the Rock, which is Alcatraz Island, if you didn't know what that movie's about. Which,
that was a pretty practical movie, huh? Thinking about
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There's not much going on there.
There's a couple helicopter shots, the planes flying over, and the big chase in the city and going down into the park.
When he stole his Humvee?
Yep. That's basically it. Other thing else is just guys shooting guns and in small corridors and, you know, running around, stuff like that. So
that's another one talking about, like, going back and looking at a cast. That cast was pretty dope.
Ed Harris, obviously the Sean Connerys, Nicolas Cage. What was the army guy's name? The one that led the group in?
Well, Michael Bane? Mean? What the fuck? John Connor.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Michael Bane, right?
I don't know.
It's B-I-N-E.
H. There's an H in there.
Yeah, somewhere there. Yeah. He's also an alien with his face all melted.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that one didn't happen anymore, right?
No, that one did. Because that was from... Oh, no, that was 3.
That was the start of 3.
That's right, yeah. Because so, he was an alien.
Fucking John Connor's still alive. And we didn't talk about this on the show, but... Terminator and Aliens. No, it was all before. It was all before.
Really?
Yeah, because remember,
I have so many theories to go over today. So many theories.
But it is a little known, but also a confirmed fact.
Confirmed fact
that Predator,
and I'm following you like that,
and Terminator are in the same universe.
You know what that means, right, Mike?
That means Alien.
Yes.
Is also in the same universe. Yes. We're not talking those shitty Alien versus Predator movies.
No.
There's more to it, backstory wise.
So, what Mike is talking about, we'll break this down real quick. So, there's a video game from 1998. Oh, weird, 1998.
Good year. Is,
yep. That was called Alien versus Predator. And it was before the movies were a thing. Shortly before the movies were a thing, if I'm not mistaken, I could probably look it up. In the game, it was a side-scrolling game where you had three different people you could play as. One of the characters you got was named Major Dutch, if I'm not mistaken, what they called his name. Or D.
Something like that.
Yeah, something Dutch. It doesn't matter. When you see him, and you can look this up if you type in Dutch Alien versus Predator video game, maybe. I could probably check that for you. It will actually, you'll see it, and it's a very stylized look at a gentleman, and he oddly looks a lot like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And the story is he is a surviving member of a group that was taking on a alien species known as the Predator. And he was so good at it, he was brought into this fold as a specialist, and over time his body got ruined and they turned him into a cyborg. And little did we know is the company who made that cyborg, his name is Cyberdyne. Are you seeing where this is coming from? So Predator led to the building of or the design of a predator killing machine, gentleman whose body they basically copied and made into an exoskeleton. I can't talk apparently. Exoskeleton. I still can't say that word.
Ectoskeleton.
Sure, why not? And that person was Dutch, who happened to be from Predator, So the Terminator, the T-800 model, which you see from Predator, or from Terminator and Terminator 2, and later on models, because it's the same one Arnold Schwarzenegger always plays, that is based on the gentleman Dutch, who oddly enough was played by
Arnold
Schwarzenegger and Shane Black's masterpiece, Predator.
That wasn't Shane Black movie.
He was in it.
Yeah, but it's not his masterpiece.
That's where he came from.
The next one's going to be his masterpiece.
Oh, for sure. So what I'm saying is, and the deal is this, technically in the world that Cyberdyne is made its big revelation is going from war machines, as you saw, unfortunately, in Terminator 3, those tank ones, to the, again, unfortunate salvation you saw, the less human or more humanoid but still very, you know, not humanish with the gun arms.
Yeah.
Terminators, which I think were the 600s, right?
Yeah, the big the big tank looking one on the
well,
like
the T-100 was the tank one, right?
Yeah.
The T-600 is the one that has the gun arms that looks humanoid
and just marches real not fluently.
Yep.
Yeah, that one had the guns.
And then
I just did a quick Google search, though. It's not technically confirmed.
Well, when I say this, it's because of the
verbiage that was used in the game.
Yep, which is canon
the
Alien movies.
Yeah, they couldn't use those on, you know, they're crossing platforms and universes there. So it's still technically a fan theory, but it's about as airtight of a fan theory as you can get.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Oh, that is not the right one. Did you look up movies from 1998?
No.
While we were talking about it?
I was looking up what that guy.
Oh, yeah. That guy, right? Armageddon, Saving Private Ryan, Big Lebowski, Truman Show, Dark City, which is one of my favorites. You have There's Something About Mary. American History X, A Bug's Life, Ronin. You have A Fear and Loathing Las Vegas, Mulan. I'm not a big fan of it, but Thin Red Line. People like that movie. Blade is right there. Enemy of the State. The terrible Godzilla movie. Mike's favorite Sylvester Stallone movie, Ants.
Nah.
The Wedding Singer. I mean, there's a lot of movies. Like, you know, there's a lot of movies in 1998 that just were really big hits, and right after that was just a. I mean, there's a lot of them that they're considered.
And there's some that have stayed on as kind of cult classics.
Yeah,
too.
Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels.
Can't Hardly Wait.
Yep.
Lost in Space. That movie is so trash, dude.
All right, Joe, calm
even,
down.
Even as a little kid,
Gods and Monsters.
When I watched that one, which one's that one?
The one with what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
That guy?
Yeah, I got you.
Magneto? Can't think of his fucking name right now. But, there's a lot of movies that came out that time that were fucking good as shit. Oh, yeah, when Brendan Fraser was an actor, remember that was a thing?
He was good for a stretch, too.
Yeah, and then he, like, lost his mind.
Did he lose his mind or did he just stop making good movies? Because that happens.
That could be it, too.
We're gonna make a vehicle to get Brandon Fraser back in the
Encino Man 2. Link to the Past.
No,
it's a Zelda reference. So speaking of fan theories, I have one of my own, Michael. We discussed last week after the podcast, because what a great time to talk about stuff when we're not recording.
To kind of let you in behind the curtain a little bit, we will sit here and talk for 2 hours.
Yep.
Record an hour to an hour and a half podcast, and then sit here and talk for another hour.
Yes.
So
when we should be recording it all and cutting it up,
yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah.
why? We're professionals. you know, being in our third year and all. So there's this comes off the heels of this. I discovered this last week, and I'll get into the details. But earlier this week, I said it's Wednesday. I believe Monday or yesterday, Tuesday of recording. It's Wednesday. I want to say it was Monday. But anyways, there was a leaked press release from China for Star Wars The Last Jedi that hadn't hit the States yet and still hasn't officially hit the States yet, boasting a secret of all secrets that will shock and awe all fans of Star Wars, young and old. And it's referenced to be bigger than when Luke found out that Darth Vader was his father.
Damn, they're selling it high, huh?
Yes. So that's a lot to put on a movie. But I don't know what that is. No one knows what it is because, again, that press release wasn't officially released. Not even in China. It was leaked from a one sheet, that they, as they call them, which has a description, was translated and said the shock of all shocks. My theory, we have talked a little bit about this before, of lineage of Rey. We still don't know Rey's last name, and this will not shed exactly what her last name is, but it will might shed of where she came from. It breaks down like this. We've talked about the ages of the characters. We talked about when they were born, around when they were born, based on their ages. Just recently, as of last week, a comic book came out called Star Wars The Screaming Citadel. It is an adventure of Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia, and another character introduced in the Darth Vader comic book. All canon, all in line with the movies and in the cinematic universe and all the Star Wars stuff. Her name is Dr. Aphra. I'll explain this to you, who she is, real quick without going into crazy detail. She is a smuggler. She has she's a pilot. She's a gun-toting crazy person. Loves shooting first and asking questions never. She runs around with not only a Wookiee sidekick, but she also runs around with a protocol droid and an astromech droid. Now, if that doesn't scream an amalgamation of both Han Solo and Luke Skywalker, I don't know what the fuck else it does. But the Screaming Citadel pairs up people in odd groups. Leia and Han are together, along with Han Solo's faux ex-wife. That's a whole different story. We won't go into that. And Luke and Dr. Aphra. So Dr. Aphra is more of a euphemism. She is not a doctor, other than Dr. Chaos and Unrest. But the story, I'm not going to go into the story of a Screaming Citadel's about. It doesn't fucking matter. Mainly because I haven't fully read the second issue yet, so I'm not too sure what it's about. But about today, so we'll find out. But there is a scene in the first issue, and again in the second issue because I flipped through it, where there's a moment that Luke and Dr. Aphra kind of have a thing. Now, they don't bang just yet. There's 5 issues. This is a comic book made for all ages. They're not going to show it. You're not going to see Luke put his saber in some lady, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But there's a moment, easily a moment, where like they lock eyes and it's really intimate. And you're like, oh, dang, these two are going to bang. Right? So I thought, that's weird. Why would they? That was such a strange thing. And we were promised we were going to find out the lineage of Rey in episode 8, which happens to come out the same year that a miniseries that's set before the events of episode 5, Empire Strikes Back, where Luke is still yet a Jedi trained yet. He's got a little bit of, you know, what he learned from Obi-Wan. He's not met Yoda yet. He is yet to explore his abilities other than being able to wield a lightsaber and pull things at him. In this story, he's about 20, 21 years old, 19, 20, somewhere around there, you know, 19 to 22 or so. Which you could imagine, you're the guy who blew up the Death Star, riding high in your success. You're running around the galaxy, meeting ladies,
banging ladies,
throwing down. And maybe you hook up with this crazy hot, Dr. Aphra chick, who by the end of this small miniseries disappears from your life forever. And little did you know, she's got a bun in the oven. And that bun in the oven grows up. Boy or girl, doesn't really matter what it is, because that's not the point. Well, it is the point, but not the point. That person then has a bun in said oven again, his or hers, whichever how it happens. Could be she had a daughter. That person then got pregnant by someone else. They had a little child about 17 years or so before the events of A Force Awakens. Finds out that their father and grandfather of their newly born daughter is a Skywalker. A Luke Skywalker, who everyone in the galaxy is searching for, wants to kill, and will do anything to do that. So what do you do with this baby?
Take him to a trash planet.
You take him to a trash planet on the Outer Rim with no affiliation to either side.
And you hope that the Millennium Falcon's going to end up there someday.
I don't think you hope that, but it's just a happy coincidence. So what I'm saying is... And I'll explain where my theory comes from and from the most asinine theory in the world that I read online the other day, which made me mad after my amazing deduction powers. Luke hooks up with Aphra. Aphra doesn't tell Luke that she is with child. She runs off, has the baby in secret. That baby grows up not knowing who their father is. That baby has a baby with somebody else. Baby's having babies. Then they find out that Luke is the grandfather of their newly born daughter. They then try to hide said daughter in the outer rim away from everybody, the skirmish that is the Galactic Civil War. But little do they know that they don't get back in time, probably die in said Civil War or captured somewhere. Rey's force powers get awakened along with, the story of Finn and her come about. Boom, you have Force Awakens. Rey's grandfather is Luke. She meets him at the end of the movie.
Now, that's all sound. Okay. And I'm not going to poke any holes in this. Okay. I'm just going to add something to it.
All right.
Rey knows the stories.
Yes.
Of Han Solo and Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
All right. Now, granted, everyone probably knows the stories, but she has that brief memory that you see in the movie of her, like, reaching to her parents. Remember, like, that flashback?
The ship.
Yeah. And so with that, like, you know she's old enough to know she's getting left somewhere.
Yep.
You know, it's not like, you know, Leia going to Jimmy Smith's as a baby and you don't know. You know what Jimmy I mean? Smith. Yes. You don't know. So she knows she's being left.
Yes.
So that, to me, like, another thing that could go into this is, like, they tell the stories of her grandfather, but not telling her it's her grandfather.
Yes.
But letting them know everything they can about it. And it makes sense if you think about it, because you can't, like, she's a dope-ass pilot, too, and Luke was one of the most dope pilots.
So is Aphra.
Yeah, so it just makes sense that something like that's in you, you know what I mean? So I like the theory, and the comic books are canon with Star Wars now.
Yep, the Marvel stuff is canon.
Yeah.
The Dark Horse stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff's gone now, but the current stuff is in canon with the universe. And there's been other little hints before Force Awakens, right?
Yeah.
So like, it's not crazy to think that they could drop a little bit of a hint into there. And
in past former canon stuff, Luke was attracted to bad ladies. He was had a inkling for the naughty ladies, Mara Jade. If anyone knows who that is an assassin sent by the Emperor to assassinate Luke. His dashing ways and handsome looks sways her. They fall in love, and if I'm not mistaken, she dies carrying his child, like, in her.
Yeah, but that story's gone. That sounds,
yeah, so...
But that was a story. So, yep. I mean, I feel like with the... Because you got to remember, too, like, 10 years ago, nobody thought we were ever going to get another Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So, like, the canon stuff was just like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever you want, motherfuckers.
But you feel like they're going to keep some of it, some of the cool shit, you know what I mean? Because it's been done. So, I mean, it all makes sense. And the timelines kind of make sense, you know? Because you got a couple years leeway here and there to mess with, for sure. But...
And it's not unlikely that Luke, who is 70-something in the movies... Or almost 70, I think it's like, because he's 60, something like that. I can't remember the exact age they tell him that they say he is. He could have a 17-year-old granddaughter at that age. Now, the other fan theory I spoke of during my fan theory that I read online that really bothered me, and the shock of all shocks that this is where it comes from. Again, I don't know what, nobody knows yet what the shock is, but. Some guy on Reddit, because that's where you get the greatest news from, broke down his plan. I'm not going to go through all the asinineness that it is. Says that Rey is Kylo's daughter, making her Leia's granddaughter. I'll give you the details. So he is 32 or 33 in A Force Awakens. I did the math. That makes him having babies when he's literally a baby. Like, he's 14 when he spits out a kid. Not unheard of, I mean, especially nowadays in our world. So this is the brief history of what they say happens. He falls in love with another Jedi apprentice under Luke. Luke says that cannot happen. Separates the two, sends her away to another temple to train to keep Kylo focused, or Ben at that time, focused. Ben does not like that. Very similar to something that would happen with his grandfather. He then falls to the dark side, gets persuaded by Snoke to basically take down the Jedi along with Luke. Luke is away at the time, obviously, as we've seen from both the new trailer as well as the movie. So Luke survives. But Kylo is searching for his wife, his girlfriend, his baby mama. Here's a rumor that he had a daughter with her, that the mom is dead, and he's on a search for the girl. Hence the line, what girl, when he grabs a dude with a force choke. Because he is well aware that there's this daughter of his out there. And he wants her to be him with him. That's the other fan theory that I read. That's supposed to be the big twist and shock that's coming up in episode.
I don't hate it on paper. Like, it kind of makes sense until you get to the point where they're like there's not enough age difference.
13 or 14 years between them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that kind of fucks it all up, because like everyone. It's pretty familiar with the ring theory for Star Wars, how everything is basically one story getting told over and over and over again. So it makes sense that it would be something similar as to what happened to his grandfather. Because, like, Anakin was pretty young when he banged...
Padme was older.
Yeah, but Anakin was young.
Like, way older. Well, she was 15 when she met him, and he was, like...
Eight or nine?
Yeah, 8 or 9. Yeah. So, like, there's a 6 or 7 year gap between them. He was a teenager, well into his teens, if not closer.
Do we know how old Rey is?
Rey is 17.
The time frame's not that often.
Yeah.
If Rey's only 7. I thought Rey was, like, in the 20s.
She's 17. She's supposed to mirror Luke, being that she's almost 18. Just like he was on a desert planet. Because
when you're 18 and you're a Jedi, you don't get puberty. You get the Force.
It's true.
It just...
I mean, yes. Basically. But there's... we've talked about it on the show before. People get upset about it. But it's the way they tell these stories. Metachlorians, yeah. The movies mirror themselves in drastic ways. A young boy who's on a desert planet... just happened to be Tatooine for both Luke and Anakin, get discovered by a mentor of types. Anakin was a lot younger than Luke was by at least 10 years. but they both get absconded because bad shit happens. Get drawn into this fight that they had they knew nothing about. They end up saving everybody by destroying a spaceship with another spaceship. And then you go to Rey. Hers is a little different, but similar. Desert planet, doesn't really have parents, has a guardian that not exactly the best for him, sort of thing. Little things like that. But, it does make sense. Do you have math? Do you have math skills right now?
A calculator?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got math skills. What are you going to do about it?
Because my brain's not working. If you minus 32 and 17, you get 15, right?
Yes.
Okay, so if this fan theory is correct, the main masked villain will basically, in the second movie, right, tell the hero, this way in being Rey, the good side, that they are that person's father. Just yet another mirroring of what happened in the previous adventures. Now, that did not happen to Anakin, because Anakin never met his father, because he didn't really actually have one. If you go by the not really so much fan theory, more of just looking at what details are said, because Palpatine told him a story about a gentleman who was able to manipulate the Force enough to create life, and Anakin was born without sexual intercourse.
So Anakin was Jesus.
Anakin is the Force Jesus, and he did get sacrificed. The difference is he went the other way instead of the good way. So just like Luke, Rey grew up on a
Rey
desert planet.
Is introduced as a 19-year-old woman, it says.
19-year-old? So which makes him 13 at the time?
Yeah, that's
That's a bit rough.
Because, like,
I could have swore they said he was. Yeah, I could be wrong. I looked at the timelines before, but. Still, even if she's 19, she still could be Luke's granddaughter easily, because he's like 60 something, so that could happen for sure.
I mean, a lot of it makes sense until you get to the fact that like Kylo had been banging it like constantly at fucking 13. Like, that makes it weird, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to see if there's any actual evidence of how old she technically is. And because we don't know who her parents are, we don't even know, we don't know her last name, but we don't know when she was born either. We just know she's not as old as Kylo. Because Kylo was born shortly after the events of...
The Force Awakens Visual Dictionary says 19-year-old Rey.
Okay.
So that's where...
That's where that comes
from. Her age is coming from.
Okay. So Visual Dictionary...
There's no canon answer for Kylo.
Kylo's timeline, the one I found out...
Kylo's 36?
Could be. Like, I mean, she's... Yeah, because that gives him 19 years on.
Yeah. So if he's like 36... 35 to 37, it could have some legs.
Yeah.
But, like, just looking at him, though, there's no...
Yeah, because, I mean, I have my friend Matt. Matt, I know you're listening. He has an 18-year-old daughter, and he is 2 years older than me. So it makes him 37, 38. So, I mean, that's a likely could be, you know?
So someone says... Ben, speaking of Kylo, is 29 years old at the time of The Force Awakens. In Aftermath, Empire's End, Leia gives birth to Ben shortly following the end of the Battle of Jakku, which takes place in 5 ABY, 1 year after the Battle of Endor.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Battle of Endor, because 30 years from last Star Wars to The Force Awakens. So, yeah, he's only 30. So you couldn't have a, like, unless you got that force-born sperm.
Yeah.
That sounds rapey.
Yeah, because this is the star chart, as they call it, your handy guide to the galaxy far, far away. So this gives the saga breakdown for the movies, so film sagas. You have episode one took place 32 years before the Battle of Yavin. You have episode two, which is 22 years before the Battle of Yavin. So there's 10 years between, you know, in time between episode one and episode two. 19 years before Battle of Yavin was episode three. You have Star Wars, which is the Battle of Yavin. If you guys don't know what that is, that's the Yavin is the planet that the battle takes place above when Luke blows up the Death Star for the first time. 3 years after that, you have Empire Strikes Back. So if Luke is 17, because he's almost 18 in the events of episode 4, he is, what does it make him, 22, right? Almost 22?
Yeah.
Right? Doing math right? Almost 22 when Empire Strikes Back happens, which means the time frame I'm talking about with Dr. Aphra, he is literally 20, 21, somewhere around there, when he hooks up with this smoking hot.
Yeah, I like yours better.
I'm trying to see. So, they said in Empire's End is when Leia gives birth to Ben.
Aftermath.
Yeah, Aftermath. Which Aftermath or Aftermath Empire's End?
Because
Aftermath is literally like right after.
1 year. It said 1 year after Jakku.
Okay. Also, maybe it is. Maybe, yeah.
No, 1 year after Endor. Sorry.
Which is 4 years after Yavin.
Yeah, so that would make... That would make Kylo 29 in The Force Awakens and Rey 19.
Yeah, because it would have been a year after Endor, which is... And then Force Awakens is 34 years after Yavin. So you minus that, he'd be 29.
Yeah.
Which means he'd have been 12 when he had... sex for the first time, or at least I don't know if I'm not gonna judge first time. He could be, I don't know what Jedi's do, but yeah, I mean, okay, so yes,
jokes on you, he's got 8 kids already.
Bam, what? That is some
one
powerful,
of them's 25.
He drives his sperm with the force. He's just like, pregnant. Did I almost get you?
Yeah,
yes, nice. I almost got Mike to pull a Munger and spit all over the equipment. This time I actually throws in all the current stuff too, because you have. Book wise, well, movie wise, so anthology movies, we all know Rogue One takes place literally right before the Battle of Yavin, like literally days before the Battle of Yavin. Because I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the whole of Episode 4, A New Hope, or Star Wars as people call it, literally unfolds in days.
Oh, it does, huh?
Literally unfolds.
I've never really thought about that, but yeah, it's a pretty quick.
Luke meets Obi-Wan. They meet Han. Same day. Literally the same day. So you meet Luke.
You see burnt up Uncle Owen.
Yep. You see Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen dead, which, by the way, not true. You see scorched bodies. Was later told in canon, they are not dead.
Oh, shit.
Motherfuckers. Anyways, less lesser known canon, but it is apparently true. I think they're dead now, but that's because Luke is like 60 something. Because
Joel Edgerton.
Well, actually, we can do this math. If he's where's your math machine again? So he's 17 in there. What's 17 and 34?
51.
He's 51 in Force Awakens. Minus 17 or minus 19.
32.
So he would have been 32 when he had a grandchild. When a grandchild was born. That seems rough.
Yeah.
That seems real rough.
He would have to be... I mean, a 17 and a 17.
Well, that's actually not that bad at all then, right?
No, not too bad.
Especially since he doesn't know. Well, no, because he would have been 19 or 20 if the encounter with Aphra was when she had their child.
Yeah, so that's that still holds.
It's pretty close, yeah.
Trying to...
So you have that. We don't know what year episode 8 or 9 takes place in along that time. But some shit happens. Movie-wise, all the anthology movies take place before the Battle of Yavin, so they're going to fall somewhere between episode 3 and 4. Because you have the Han Solo movie and Rogue One. Like I said, Rogue One, we know exactly when that happens. Because, well, you know, we saw it happen. Yeah. We literally saw the end of Rogue One before we knew Rogue One was a thing.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. So, yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
There's some wiggle room on all these, too. They could fudge it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know exactly. I'm trying to see if... Because Shattered Empire, which is the series that predated the book I'm talking about, he could have been 18, 19. Because it took place before Empire Strikes Back. And Star Wars and Darth Vader, the Princess Leia, the Lando, and the Chewbacca book all happen shortly after the Battle of Yavin, which in the, within a year or so. So he could have been about 18 or 19 when he had when he hooked up with Dr. Aphra. So, I mean, math holds up. I could be correct. Our friend Tim, Timmy Tim, who listens to the show, said that it'd be weird if they introduced Rey's lineage in a comic book, even though it's canon, because not enough people are going to know who that really is. But, I mean, up until episode, we got the prequels, we never even heard or saw of Padme.
Yeah, so Anakin was 23 in episode 3.
Which is 19 years before... Oh, shit. Oh, shit. That's 19 years. So episode 3, he was how old? 23?
23, it says.
He was actually older than Luke then because 19 years before the Battle of Yavin was episode 3. Battle of Yavin was the events of... Well, no, because if they're saying that, the Battle of Yavin means Luke and Leia were 19. That can't be right, though, because he makes a mention that he's almost 18, which is almost old enough to join the Academy.
Oh, no.
Can you see a fine thing say how old Luke was in episode 4? Because I want to say he was almost 18. Still, I mean, still going to add up the same.
Episode 4?
Yeah.
22.
What? That makes no sense.
No, 19 in episode 4. Sorry.
Episode 4, they were 19.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that, I mean, that would be... Cause,
that makes them 19, cause they 22, were and 23.
Because they were born...
And it says he's 53 now. Or in The Force Awakens, 53. So what's that one say?
Well, it says the events of episode 3 happened 19 years before Battle of Yavin. Which happens to be episode 4. So it was 19 years. He was 19 because he was born. They were born in at the end of episode 3, him and Leia.
Right.
19 years later, the events of New Hope happens.
Right.
34 years pass until Force Awakens.
So yeah, so, 19 plus 34
is 53. Earlier, didn't you say he was 51?
No. You're giving me different math.
All right, well, that still adds up, though.
Yeah.
Because even if he's 19, he's 20-ish when he meets Aphra. They bang, have a kid he doesn't know about. That kid then later has a child who's 19. Holy shit, 19, 19, and 19.
Hmm.
I just did that fucking math. Interesting.
But the only thing that fucks it up is Anakin was... 23 when he had his kid.
Yeah. Not that Joe's gonna listen to this episode, but 19's got a big number in Dark Tower. Because as you all know from listening to the show, Joe doesn't listen, so we can say whatever the fuck we want, and he'll never know. So have fun with that. Yeah, that's interesting. I wish there was dates on some of the books. Because there's...
What do you know? What do you think about Palpatine?
What about him?
Still alive?
So in the now forgotten canon,
who's the new guy?
Snook?
Yeah,
I think it's someone we haven't met yet.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of theories. One theory I thought was pretty interesting is that he isn't a Force user at all. He has actually duped Kylo, Ben, into... So he's basically, he's a really big fan of the Sith.
Yeah.
And so he's like... So when Rogue One came out, we talked about the Wills, who are essentially Force-sensitive monk-type people who keep the secrets and keep the Order of the Jedi kind of in line, right? You know? Like, they're like the monastery people, monks, basically, like I said.
Right.
He does not have the ability to use the Force, or he's not in tune with the Force. He's a really big fan of the Sith, like fanboy of the Sith, and has collected and learned about the Sith and the way they do things. And in doing so, he's risen in power, and he's just like this super rich guy, like unbelievably rich, and he essentially finances the First Order, which comes out of the springs its head forth from the wreckage that is the Galactic Empire. And so he seats himself in power because he has the money to help them build what they need to build. But he's like a really big fan of the Sith and like the dark side. And so he basically takes and what he's learned over the years of collecting and learning about the Sith and the dark side has trained Kylo. And that's why Kylo is very unstable in the way that he is not fully like Vader was very in tune with the dark side of the Force.
Right.
Very in tune, choking people. You know, it's not really a big hard skill, but he was good too. And that's what made him not so like the, you know, people say, oh, he's not so far into the dark side because he can't use lightning. No, dipshits, you have to have bones to create lightning, because if you shot lightning through your metal arms, they would break. So he has no actual appendages that are not robotic, because if you saw episode 3, he got his leggy legs and his army arms chopped off by his best friend and teacher, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Technically... I know you're going to correct me. Someone's going to correct me. He got one of his arms chopped off and both his legs chopped off by Anakin or by Obi-Wan, because the other one was a mechanical one. And so you saw him grasping with the metal burnt up hand.
I hate you.
Yeah, exactly. You were the chosen one. So technically he can't use the force lightning, because you have to conduct electricity out of your bones. And if you did that with the metal, it would destroy them, and you'd have to be replacing your arms every time you shot electricity. So, that's the reason why he does not shoot lightning. Little does everyone know, yet I have a feeling, that Luke can actually produce lightning from one of his arms, because he has one fully human arm. Unlike his right hand, which is a mechanical hand just above the, or just below the wrist, or above the wrist. Is this above or below? Which way does it go? Above or below? Above or above?
I don't know.
I'm pointing to Mike. Is above your wrist below. On
it
your
would be
arm?
Below.
This is below?
Because, yeah, if you think about your elbow, you would say your forearm is below your elbow.
So this is below, this is above.
So, yeah, your hand would be below your wrist.
Okay, so he lost his hand above his wrist on his right hand when his poppy chopped it off. Okay. Above his wrist. So basically from...
Papa.
He has a metal hand on. He has a mechanical hand on his right side. I think they replaced some. Like this portion has some metal in it too, because you saw the mechanics. And they have to, because then there's a poke it on. It's gonna work. They have to rewire some shit. So his right hand, he cannot shoot electricity out of. Later, again, this is.
Can you imagine
some
how,
cannon, but he can stop electricity with it, and it doesn't fuck it up.
You imagine
he uses the force,
how
though.
Crazy the theater's gonna go
when he shoots fucking
point,
lightning.
He shoots some lightning at somebody.
Literally, movie. People are gonna start jerking off if they don't automatically just.
So it's gonna be one of those things. Like
if remember, you're in a busy theater bring up, a poncho.
Blew up when Vader did his thing at the end of Rogue One.
Oh yeah, yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, people were like, "Oh, like, they were more speechless than everything."
Yeah,
but just one shot of him just fucking boom,
throwing lightning,
wiping some dudes out with lightning. That crowd's gonna fucking go ape shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Gonna happen
because he's literally gonna use force in this movie. And if he doesn't, I'll throw a fucking fit in a chair through a fucking screen.
They could do that shit easy now. So they better make him look like a badass.
Yeah. But yes, if he does shoot lightning. A, people are going to lose their shits because Luke Skywalker legitimately shot lightning out of his fucking body. But also people are going to be like, oh my God, does that make him evil? No, it does not. there's a lot of detail we've talked about here before because I keep pining over a book called The Dark Disciple where the only other Jedi to master both light and dark side powers, Quinlan Voss is his name. Luke is the other one that I was speaking of. Luke has the ability. He has mastered both light and dark side powers. So he can throw lightning, technically, with one hand. Which is fucking dope, if you ask me. I think it's fucking dope. I don't know what Mike thinks. He's over poking on his Google machine.
Pretty dope.
But I was just saying, like, if he's fighting Kylo, the other Knights of Ren, so Kylo's band of misdoers. Oh, there's another. Don't forget to remind me. I forget to know this rant about stuff about Captain Phasma and how she may not be who we think she is. There's rumors that the Knights of Ren play a bigger role in this movie, in The Last Jedi, and I would like to see them attacking Luke and Rey, and Rey going ape shit on him, but also Luke handing down a business against these dudes. And people go, oh, but only saw one person with a lightsaber, and that was Kylo. That's because some of those motherfuckers got vibroblades, and vibroblades are a big, 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 big deal in the Star Wars universe that hasn't really been on screen. They were, but no one used them that way, and those would be the Imperial Guards, the guys in the red. Their staffs have vibro tensions, so they can actually block lightsabers with them. Because the fact that if you're going to send someone to kill Palpatine, it's probably going to be a Force user, and that Force user is probably going to have a lightsaber, and you need someone who doesn't just go, oh, shit, my sticky stick got broke by a lightsaber. So the weapons you see have that capability in them, and it's the same technique that the shock stick that the dude had, you know, Traitor had that he was able to block Finn's lightsaber with because it didn't chop through it. The electrical field it hits is the vibro. That's the same type of thing a vibro blade does. But vibro blade, for the people who don't know, is a sword and/or knife or axe or bladed weapon that vibrates at the exact same frequency that a beam of a lightsaber does. So it's able to actually block it without getting cut in half because a lightsaber essentially can cut through anything. Given time, will melt through anything as well. We saw that in episode one. So, technically, those weapons can stop a lightsaber blade. But, you know, they can't stop this motherfucking force lightning from shocking your ass.
Ain't no stopping that.
Nope. Ask Vader.
No stopping.
Because that motherfucker tried. He got all burnt up. And he's mostly like a robot, so.
Mace Windu got all fucked up.
Yeah. That's another thing. Mace Windu is supposed to be alive still. I'm like.
Oh, no, he is.
Yeah, I know, but
I'm buying
like,
all into that one.
But it's like I'm down, but like because
I want Sam Jackson in the next movie.
Be so fucked up.
Yeah, dude,
so fucked up.
He's gonna look so dope.
So mad, just a gnarly scar and all burnt.
Yeah.
So Captain Phasma, thanks for reminding me, Mike.
Phasma.
So in Shattered Empire, I mentioned this earlier, is a miniseries that was done in the comic book, canon comic book. It takes place during the events of Return of the Jedi, so like adventures of, because Return of the Jedi is 4 years after Battle of Yavin, but is like a whole year, like it's a year after Empire Strikes Back, but has a lot of leeway in there. Aftermath takes place right after the events of Return of the Jedi. This takes place right before that, so the Empire is not completely done yet, but the Shattered Empire is essentially them forming their plan to take the Empire out. Anyways, in that, it is revealed that Captain Phasma was trained as a rebel spy.
Mm.
So the rumors are she is unknowns to anybody outside Leia, who never interacts with Phasma, and a few other people. She's actually super deep in undercover because her parents at one point were killed by the Empire, and she became a rebel and was trained as a high-level spy and was emplaced in the Shattered Empire, which led to her being part of the formation of the First Order by Snook and all of his men.
I would have said bullshit before I saw Rogue One.
Yep.
But Rogue One allowed for that high-level infiltration shit. That'd be pretty dope.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
And think about this. We know she's alive. She didn't die in the trash compactor. We don't know if she was thrown in or not. Highly recommended by two people. Three, if Chewie actually chimed in. He did say something. We don't know what he says because they don't speak Wookiee.
He said, trash that bitch.
Trash that bitch.
Chewie's actually filthy.
Is on the level of R2-D2 and Groot. Like, yeah. They just have the worst. Like, sailors blush when they start ranting. Like, it's just like, yo, there are other words than fuck, pussy, and cunt, all right? Like, please, God, pick another word. These fucking pirates. What the hell? The rumor is, the fan theory, because it's already told she was trained as a spy, which doesn't mean she's not fully bad. If she's not fully bad, she is the most undercover you could possibly be without literally murdering your father.
Ooh. What?
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the rumors are, because they're ramping up for casting of episode 9 for everybody who's not. They won't say who's going to be in it yet, because it's potential spoilers who lives or dies in episode 8. But rumors are they are bringing back Han Solo for flashback scenes. So Harrison Ford will be in a little bit in episode 9. This is where it comes from. So there was a rumor that one of the things we'll find out in episode 8 is how Luke got to where he was without anything. He doesn't have an astromech droid, which means if he did have an X-Wing or a ship on that island, he would need some way of navigating off of that, which means he'd have to do it by hand. Not that he couldn't, because he's done it before when R2 went down in a book. Not the point. But he isolated himself on there for a reason. But if he had a ship, when Han died, he most likely would get off that planet to go avenge his best friend's death. So the rumor is this. Han knew exactly where Luke was at, because he and Chewie are actually the ones that brought him to that island. And that's the reason Leia and the Rebellion have R2 in deep sleep mode, because he came back with Han. And the only time he was going to activate, and with the activation code of the star map that brought him out of sleep mode, to then display it to let them know where he was at. And that was only going to happen if Han Solo died, or shit like this happened. That's the rumor. So the rumor is, the flashbacks we will see is Han Solo in an argument with Luke about why he's abandoning everybody, and then finally agreeing to dump him off on this planet before leaving, and that's one of the reasons he is a no-show to Leia and Ben, is because he fails as a father, he fails as a husband, and he fails as a best friend. So he goes off with Chewie, his only real friend, to smuggle throughout the galaxy. Not yet another fan theory. Based on basic rumors that Harrison Ford has been contracted to come back for an appearance in one more movie. That's where it's at.
Yeah. That'd be good because you would want one more scene. You know, that's the biggest, like, about The Force Awakens is you didn't get to see Luke and Han. Yep. Because you saw everyone else pretty much interact that you needed to, you know?
You didn't get to see Leia and Luke, but you'll see that this movie.
Yeah, but you get to see that. Yeah. Like, you'll see that at some point. But with Han's death, spoiler alert, you don't...
what?
You don't get to see that. So that'd be cool. I'm all for flashback scenes.
Motherfucker. Yeah, so that's that. Star Wars. Caught you up on your Star Wars news. Joe's not here to talk about Alien Covenant. Not that we've seen it yet. I'm not going to say that. Are we going to go tomorrow night? Yes or no?
I don't know.
Okay. I get off at 6, so maybe we can, if you, depending on where you work. Not my point, though. If you're one that does not like spoilers, do not watch the HBO first look at it. I made the mistake of watching that.
They fuck something up?
Yeah.
A big thing?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I was really upset when I watched it.
Did you
see goddamn warning ahead of time either.
I came across, I think it was Coming Soon, posted a dope little video of that's what I look like. That's
gross.
I guess. I mean, I grow a beard out every time.
like the Play-Doh man. So Jen knows it's coming, so the beard starts coming out.
They posted a cool little like 4-minute video of the time frames of the Alien movies, which we all know you don't have to go past Aliens, but they went past Aliens just to give all the time frame. I thought it was a nice little recap because they didn't like bog it down with all the blah 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 that a lot of those videos do.
Something history of the Xenomorph, right? Is that that one?
No, it's just a straight timeline of the movie. I'll take it and post it to the Facebook page because it's pretty good. It's a nice, it just kind of gets you caught up on like where Prometheus time frame happened to when Alien Covenant happens, like the start of it, because they don't know where it ends, obviously. But then they jump right to Alien and then Aliens. It's a good one. That sucks that they're spoiling stuff. Now, are they spoiling something real or are they spoiling something that you were hoping to be a surprise?
They are, well, I guess it would be more of something I wanted to be, well, something I wanted to see that we knew was happening because that was the premise of the movie, but I don't want to say much because it really bums me out that I know this happens now.
Do you think it's weird that Danny McBride's in this movie?
That's going to be so I was going to bring that up. So this is right here. This is not the video I watched. This is a different one. But the HBO one was really fun because they had, cast and crew stuff, and I've been watching interviews selectively. Because I know those interviews don't ever really spoil much in them, so which is really nice. But a couple things that I heard that were really funny to me, and one that's fucking terrifying, and I'll get to that one last because that one's fun. So Danny McBride made the joke about how he was surprised he was cast because he's never really done anything that's drama or anything like that. It's always been comedy for the most part for everything that I can think of. And he even said the thing, he's like, so he was really excited to get to see this script because he knew he was going to be the funny guy who died right away. But then read the script and said, but there's not a goddamn joke in sight. There's no levity whatsoever in it. He's like, there's a little bit like in line said in situations, but really there's no levity in this. It's just dark as fuck the entire time. Like, it's just like bad shit happens, more bad shit happens, people die, more bad shit happens, a lot more people die, bad shit happens, people die. And it's like,
it's not supposed to be.
But it's, you know, it's funny.
You feel like you got kicked in the nuts after you're done watching
every time,
the movie.
And it just goes along with Covenant, which to me is one of the most perfect ways to make a prequel to Aliens, if you ask me, because it feels different, but it feels the same. It has like parts of both Alien and Aliens like together, and I think Covenant has the same thing. The other one was that him and Billy Cupper, I can't, Jesus guys, don't mind me guys, I'm drunk apparently. Crupid. Who plays the captain of Covenant, said they filmed it all in Australia, and because they were so far away from everything, that they built a creature shop on set to do all the makeup and all the prosthetics. Dope. So they house everything, right? Because normally when you have big movies like this, you have a prop area that has all that stuff, but they were creating it there on set because it's so massive. And you don't want to ship a lot of that stuff, especially to Australia, which is so remote from everything, you know.
And also to avoid spoilers and shit.
Yeah, also, because you ship stuff, people click a picture. Everyone got a goddamn camera in their pocket. They were talking about how, like, to get to the cafeteria, at one point they had to walk through the creature shop. And he said it's really unnerving because you're going to go eat lunch and you walk by the corpses of all your friends.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Right? I thought it was pretty funny. But the really funny one from the, I believe it was the HBO one I watched, it was pretty cool, is Ridley Scott actually had a contortionist, a 6'6" contortionist, in the Xenomorph suit on set for them to act to. Because a lot of times with these, obviously they're not real creatures. You're not looking opposite a bear like Leo did in The Revenant. There is no such thing as a xenomorph. Thank fucking God.
That'd be frightening.
Oh God, it's terrifying to
think about. I would never leave.
I would just be anywhere. I would live in an armored bunker underground with no actual airflow. Which would probably kill me after a while, but it's fine. I'm not going to die of a horrible xenomorph death. So they have this guy in this suit, and he said, a funny thing about it is, like, you see this guy and you're acting opposite and you're scaring. It just looks terrifying the way he moves his body and stuff. And then you go to eat your meal and he's sitting across the table from you without the head on. And you're just like, oh, this dude's just a regular guy, you know? But that's not the cool part that I thought of that was pretty gnarly about having a contortionist is they built these sets full on. So they're not like, you know, a door and like the rest of it CG. Like they're full on corridors they build for these ships. So they have these airlocks that open and close. And they're functional. So you hit a button and the door opens. It's not you hit the button and some guy moves a panel. It's a functional hydraulic door they built, nice. Which is fucking insane to think about.
Yeah.
So you go, you have to go, you're closing, you're pressing buttons to close or open a door. That you press the button, that door opens. You did that action. So you press a glowy button, that glowy button depresses and a door opens up. You made that action happen. So in the scene that he was talking about is there's a part where the xenomorph is on the ship and they don't know where it's at. So in filming, Ridley Scott did that to them. They put the contortionist in one of the various hallways and shot it multiple times and did not tell him where it was coming from and did not tell him what buttons did what door. So the reactions you get are them getting literally the shit scared out of them by a human xenomorph.
He likes doing that to his
cast,
doesn't
he? A la Alien with the chest buster
scene.
Which we've talked about on the show before. Chestbusters, if you don't know, if you go back and listen to it. I don't know what episode it is because
14.
It's episode 14, according to Mike. He's our historian, so it's probably correct. If you don't know the story,
not at all.
In the original filming of Alien, Ridley Scott told nobody on set and hardly any crew other than the special effects crew and the camera guy,
I
can't remember who
guys,
it was.
Guys, because they had multiple shots.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Reaction. Yeah, guys. So basically what happened is the only person from the cast who knew what was happening was John Hurt. John Hurt, if you don't know, is the gentleman who lays on the table who has the chestburster come out of him. Now, everyone goes back to this scene who talks about horror movies and sci-fi movies saying this is one of the most well-done reveals of anything because it's terrifying. So, yes, the people who are in that movie are terrific actors. The thing you don't know, who knows, the reactions you see when that chest burster pops out of John Hurt's chest is legitimate terror. This is the reason why. During rehearsals, John Hurt laid on the table and acted sick like he was supposed to. He was supposed to vomit up blood and he was supposed to be dying. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that the xenomorph alien at that time, because I don't think it was called xenomorph back then, was gestated in him. They knew that already. They just didn't know how it came out. Like, what happened? Did he turn into it? What happens, right? So what they didn't know at the time is during rehearsals, he's on the table acting sick. When it comes to shooting, he's supposed to spit up blood and like contort, right? Cool. They come to set. There's John Hurt now laying on the table like he was now in costume. And the same thing started happening. The body starts to twitch. He starts to spit up blood. And all of a sudden, this bloody creature starts pounding out of John Hurt's chest. And they freak the fuck out. That's legitimate because only John Hurt knew of the cast and most of the crew that that was actually going to happen. So the terror and the fright that you see on their faces.
The one girl that gets blood all over her face, the fake blood. Oh, Jesus, her.
She has no idea that that's fake. All of a sudden, the guy she's been shooting this movie with the last few months literally has an alien bursting out of his body. Now, mind you, I'm sure it cut and they all were like freaking out and then laughed together, but the terror and
that
and
initial fright, reaction of everybody. Yeah.
That is legitimate. That they actually, like, that jump you saw, like, the, everyone, when you first see that movie, now, like, if you see it now for the first time or way back then when I was, like, six and I saw it, you get that same, that's the horror and terror you get. Like, holy shit, like, Jesus, that's a legitimate jump scare.
But it's only, it's a great jump scare. It's probably one of the greatest in movie history. But the part that nobody talks about is how adorable that little alien looks when he's running away, though.
Sure.
Like, that part.
The top hat and the cane really play it, you know?
Like, I wish, and this is nitpicking, because Alien is one of the greatest horror sci-fi movies, either genre.
Yeah,
ever. Sure. But that thing looked pretty ridiculous when it was running away. And luckily, it's a real quick shot. But if you slow it down, because I have, because it makes me laugh, that little thing is just kind of, and running away.
So he's like, yeah, I'm getting away. So yeah, and apparently the shower scene we see in the trailer disturbed the actress in it so badly she didn't shower for 3 days.
Gross.
Yeah. Stinky.
I don't get scared so bad I don't have hygiene anymore. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it doesn't. So I think that's it.
All right, so next week we report on Alien.
Yes, either we see it tomorrow night, as of recording Thursday night, or most likely we will see it on Sunday.
Are you sure it comes out this week? I thought it came out next week.
No, because next week is Pirates.
Isn't this week?
No, 19th is Alien, if I'm mistaken.
Hold on, let me double check. We might have to have this conversation again next week. Well, fuck me, you're right.
Boom, bitch! I know stuff. Booyah! Because in order, we have Alien Covenant, Pirates of the Caribbean 5, and then we have Wonder Woman. Those are the movies in a row that I know of for the next 3 weeks. There's another movie this
Baywatch
week.
Baywatch sprinkled in somewhere there, too.
Wednesday, right? Or Thursday of next week?
So, I think so, yeah.
Because it's the week. It's like the day or 2 days before.
They get a real Wednesday release, though, which is odd.
Yeah. Which is funny, because we could see it Tuesday night if you were not at work.
Dumbass work.
Because we can go to Wing Night and it's got like a 10 o'clock show.
King Arthur is also this week.
King Arthur was last week. Oh. Yeah, last Friday.
Sorry.
Which I still want to see. I've heard some good things and heard some bad things. I heard if you're a Guy Ritchie fan, you're going to like this movie. If you're a King Arthur fan, you're going to loathe this movie. And if you're a Sherlock Holmes fan and like the Sherlock movies that he made, you're going to like this movie too because it's very similar to those, but not similar to Excalibur because it takes some leaps and bounds. Just like they did with Sherlock and making that different too.
You know Guy Ritchie's a black belt jiu-jitsu?
Do you know Guy Ritchie got to start making music videos? Do you know else got his start making music videos?
Oh.
David Fincher.
I thought you were going to say David Bowie. I was like, that's not right.
I mean, he did, technically.
No, David Bowie got his start, you know.
I don't think that's true, Mike. He pantomimed a blowjob.
Talented.
Yeah, he's talented.
He's super talented, but, I mean.
He got to where he was for sucking dick.
I never said that.
That's what Mike pantomimed.
I didn't pantomime a dick suck.
Oh, that was playing the trumpet. Oh, the my trumpet. Bad. The trumpet with the thing being against his Adam's apple and his throat.
So like I was saying, come back next week. We'll tell you all the horrors.
We will spoil Covenant.
I talked to two separate people who said they started listening to our episode last week and then turned it off immediately.
I had one person say that to me.
Because they haven't seen Guardians yet.
Yep. So I will.
So go watch Guardians if you haven't.
Yeah, and then
last week's episode.
Because we spoiled the shit out of it.
Yeah, and I listened to it because I thought I said something spoilery before the word spoiler came out, but I didn't. I confirmed it. You mentioned spoilers first.
I mentioned it right at the beginning, I think. Almost at the beginning.
Well, no, because after saying it, I felt bad. Because, like, fuck, I did say something bad without saying spoiler, but you had just said spoiler. So we're good. We got each other's backs.
I'm always watching out for my friends not to be spoiler machines because that's my goddamn job.
Hey, that's my gig, man.
Hey, man, that's where they got it from. So tune in, same comes naturally time, same comes naturally podcast next week around, well, when you're hearing us for the first time, Friday or whenever.
Friday morning.
Friday morning, 6 a.m. if you download directly or from the website or hopefully Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, that's a thing now.
Because, you know.
And tell a friend.
You know what? Tell two friends. Have one of those friends tell two other friends. That first one of those two friends, that piece of shit can be lazy, just whatever. But if you tell two friends, one friend will tell two more friends. At least one of those two friends will tell two friends, and it's this cascade, and we'll be famous.
And it's like a pyramid scheme where nobody gets ripped off.
Yes.
So it's a good pyramid scheme. Help our good pyramid scheme.
Yes.
Of getting downloads.
Yeah.
Sexy downloads.
The kind of downloads that'll tick your balls before and after.
I'm also not going to guarantee that.
Metaphorically.
It's metaphorical!
By the way, that's a spoiler from Guardians. If you haven't seen it yet, go fuck yourself. It has been two fucking weeks. Do yourself a goddamn favor. But, like we're saying, next week we will spoil the shits out of Alien Covenant. Because that's what we goddamn do here.
I'm so excited about this movie.
I am too. Because
this is the most excited I think I'm going to be this summer, honestly.
Even the shitty people who have not read the reviews, but read parts of the reviews, say if you like Prometheus, you're going to love this movie. I'm like, I love Prometheus.
Yeah.
Like I'm people one of like, the on 19 people who actually love that movie
I think
besides Ridley
people,
Scott.
People forget that Alien and Aliens were two different movie makers.
Yes.
And I think people instantly go to Aliens when they think about the genre. And Prometheus was very much so more of an Alien
because it's movie. A thinker. You have to think of
what's
going
Ridley Scott.
On.
Like, it, if you get
no
mad.
No shitting on what's-his-balls who made
James
Aliens.
Cameron.
James Cameron.
Because he made a brilliant fucking movie.
Yes.
But he made an action movie.
He made an action movie out of something that, like, if you're like me, and we've talked about this before, I watched Aliens first.
Yes.
Because that's the age I was at. And my mom refused to let us watch Alien because there's so much different in it. little does she know, both movies are fucked up. You go back and watch Alien when you're younger, it's a hard watch.
Yeah.
Because it's very heavy.
I didn't appreciate it till I went back in my 20s.
Yeah, and watched it, and you realized, God damn, this is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's Jaws in space.
That's
what it is. Jaws
they
is
have
terrifying.
Restraint. They have restraint with the xenomorph, which is so important in movies. You don't want to blow your whole wad.
Yeah, especially early
movies.
Now, like when you come to Prometheus, there's not a whole lot of xenomorph in it. When actually, we didn't even know there's no xenomorph in it.
I thought one is a xenomorph.
No, in
I thought the Window Buster is a xenomorph.
In Covenant, it is.
Oh, in Covenant,
Prometheus.
I'm sorry.
It's the other one, the nanomorph.
Nanomorph.
That one
weird looking one,
yeah, the one with the pointy thing, because it comes out of a different creature. It doesn't come out of a humanoid, but it doesn't come out of a human. And obviously, the
which
space
one had
jockeys,
the dog one? Which one's the one? Was that three?
Three. Yeah,
that thing was dope.
Oh yeah,
that thing like that movie sucked, but that thing was dope, dude. Yeah. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, they didn't go wrong
with
creatures.
Real sad about the dog.
Yeah, it's like, oh, is the dog okay? Like, can you?
I didn't give a fuck about humans dying in movies,
but dogs, goddamn
it,
don't kill
animals.
The thing. Fuck you, the thing.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. Oh, God, no, shoot it. Burn it with fire. Land a ship on it. Crash your helicopter on it. We need the helicopter. Fuck it. Just crush that thing. It's terrifying. It makes me sad every time it looks at it. So back to what we're saying is next week we will be spoiling Alien Covenant. That was a random tangent of like 10 minutes. So advanced warning for the advanced warning. Next Friday's episode, so week from this week's episode, if you listen to them on that Friday, we will be spoiling Alien Covenant, just like last week, a week ago Friday, we spoiled some Guardians Volume 2.
Tis the season of spoils, sir. Tis the season of spoils.
Every time there's a big movie to come out, we go see it. We're going to fucking ruin it for you the next week, so... Be on top of your game, kids.
Yeah, opening weekend. Get to that shit.
Yeah, because we're going to ruin it for you.
Yes, sir.
on the show, not on like the Facebook page. So still go there.
Yeah, we're not dicks.
Yeah. I mean, come on now. What are we? Me?
What are we, monsters?
So that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Mike.
I am Cody. And there is no Joe.
No Joe. Joe, so no.
Yeah.
Clap.
I'm pretty sure they can hear the high five, but yeah, clap works too. So as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Yeah. Play some Air Guitar tonight, guys.